your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in on this tremendous Tuesday to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are super happy to be back here tonight on our tremendous Tuesday.
Tuesday, I'm going to come up with another T word to go in front of the Tuesday. You know, it does feel better. I mean, I just feel like things have happened, and it just feels like a better environment right now. I don't know about you, but I just feel like maybe there's a sigh of relief. I'm not sure. But I just feel like things are breaking up just a little bit, and the full moon is even happening this week. So how about that?
Yeah, we have a full moon coming up. I was out tonight before the show with my dog, and it was just fantastic. It's such good energy. And Orion is like right there, you know, at this. Well, when I went out, like right there. So it was so cool to just be out in that energy for a few minutes and, you know, because I had to hurry up and get back in here. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a little... Well, probably half an hour ago, but yeah, it was good. It was like, oh, this is so nice to be out here, even though it was a little chilly, but that's all right.
It's full,
It's Minnesota.
But, no, it's full. Is it full on Thursday? I think Thursday is the actual full day,
I think
right?
so, yeah.
But it's pretty big now. I was kind of surprised it was as big as it is because I was out and I looked and there it was, you know, it's beautiful. Like you said, it's like it kind of takes you by surprise when you're not expecting it. You know, it's like, oh, you're almost full. So here we are. How are you?
Good. I am excellent. And like you said, I think, I don't know, the energy feels different the last week or so, which I appreciate. And it's just, it feels good. I like, you know, we're creeping towards a little bit more light each day, which I also appreciate. I mean, I don't mind the dark for sure. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like all times of year, but it's nice to know we're on the back half of this so that we're going towards the light.
Absolutely. Yes, well, in bulk is like the beginning of February, right? It's like around the 10th or something.
Just a week away.
So
not even.
That's like halfway in between the solstice and the equinox, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So that's good. The sun is coming. The sun is coming. So
It is. Yeah, it's next what is that? Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be next week, our tremendous Tuesday.
that's our paranormal smorgasbord. Is that's not in bulk though, is it? So when is in bulk?
I believe so.
Is it next week too?
Mm-hmm. Yep, next week is Tremendous Tuesday's Paranormal Smorgasbord, and it is in bulk.
Oh, wow. A trio of things happening next week on our show.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was the first week of the month,
I guess.
Yeah, next week is our Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Okay, well then we'll just push that subject we were talking about to the next week.
Yes, awesome. We'll have to do that.
Whoops. Awesome. Yeah.
I know the weeks are getting away. I couldn't. Yeah, I was booking appointments for clients. And we're looking at the middle of February. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's just zipping by. But that's what's going on.
I know. Yeah. Time seems to be going super fast. And like I said, I feel like the energy is different. I feel like there's just I feel like I can kind of relax now for some reason. You know, I'm not really sure what it is. I just don't feel all bound up like I was before, like just crazy. You know, so that's a good thing. That is absolutely a good thing. So it's been, I got out in the woods for a while on Sunday and fell through the ice.
Oh, I saw that. What the heck? How deep did you go? So, well, okay, first of all, not surprised. Second, I'm glad you're okay.
It always happens to me, right? And yeah, Katie was right
next
to me.
Not surprised, but so, I am glad you're okay. So third, how deep was it? Like what?
Well,
how did that
you know,
happen?
we were out where we go, you know, in our research, our first research area. And, you know, in the wintertime, we get to get out in the swamps. Never thought that the ice wouldn't be thick, because Silver Lake by me, you know, has like 20 inches of ice on it. I mean, it is there. There's paths all around. There's a million people out there all the time. So I thought, well, it's okay. And we were kind of over by the Beaver Dam, and all of a sudden, yeah, my left leg went all the way through. I was way up to my waist in water, just that leg. So my other leg was kind of hanging out, you know, and it probably was 30 seconds, but when you're
That's too long, felt like in the middle of winter.
Yeah. And it was terrifying actually, because it was like, oh my God, I'm going to go through, I'm going to drown, you know, and whatever. And, get up. And then we stood there and looked at the hole and looked at the ice, and we're like, okay, which way do we go? Do we go this way? Do we go that way? Or do we have to worry about going through another place, you know? And actually one of my cousins was reading my, Facebook post, and she had written that you have to be careful when you're near the marshes in a marshland, mm-hmm. not maybe so much on the middle part, but right. She said where there's all that decaying and dying vegetation, yep. It creates heat and then it messes with the ice. But because it was also next to that beaver dam, you know, there's a lot of activity under there with those beavers and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, we'll have to stay clear of the weeds. You know what I mean? Next time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's well, when we cut through that one night, you know, it is important. Every step we took, we had to really make sure first to look for like those weed bunches that were kind of really popped up, you know, high, and then test them to see, yeah. You know, make sure they didn't sink. But yeah, we couldn't trust any kind of watery area because we had no idea how deep it would go. And there was a really huge beaver dam over there. And I remember when we cut through there, how active they were, you know, and especially that was in November, right? But this is, you know, now it's even a couple months later. So I'm sure they really had something going on. So
it was crazy. But, it was fun to be out there because it was right after the snow, right? So we were mm-hmm. the first humans out there for sure. And so we got to see, you know, there were lots of coyote. I'm sure there were coyote prints, deer tracks, of course. You know, didn't find any Sasquatch prints, but you know, lots of new stuff. So it was very fun, and I, you know, it was really sad that happened, because then we had to go back to the car. I said, "Oh, I think we can go further," but
no.
And then all of a sudden, there was, you know, an inch of water sloshing around in my boot, and I'm like, "Okay, I guess we have to go back now because my foot's gonna freeze."
Yeah, you can't risk it. It's not worth it.
And it was a mile or two back to the car even, you know. So by the time I got back, the tie on my, because I had on my Sorels, and the tie was frozen. It was like an ice cube.
Oh, dear.
It was crazy. Yes, I should be. Well, I
just get in the car and turn on the heat. That's all you can do. Let everything melt.
I know. But of course it had to be me, right? I know. It just always has to be me. And Katie was right next to me. So, okay, what is this? Why is it me that gets to sink? You know what I mean? Oh, well, it is what it is. Kat's saying I should be well grounded as often as she sinks into or closer to the ground. You're absolutely right. I am pretty well grounded, I think, you know? But, I guess it didn't scare me, because the next day, Melly and I were out on Silver Lake. But we know that one's, you know, got inches and inches of ice on it. So we're safe there. But, yeah, what happened to the chat? I don't know. What happened to the chat? I can see it, Rain. I don't know what's going on.
When in doubt, refresh your screen if you can't see the chat room.
Refresh and more refresh.
Refresh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you had a good weekend, too. I saw you had a class and
It was awesome.
Breathwork class, yeah.
Yeah, we did a shamanic breathwork. It was the first one for the new year. And what's interesting is I was up in Elk River this time, which I have not done a shamanic breathwork class in Elk River before. And I was running the class through Community Ed so that we could take advantage of, supporting Community Ed, which I like to support local programs. But also, when we get into the schools, we have access to bigger spaces. And of course, because of COVID, we have to be, well, I want to be, and we should be, safe.
Yeah.
So we need room to spread out. Because if we're going to do things in person, then I want to be safe about it. And so we actually were able to use their gymnasium, and we had 15 people that signed up, which was like, wow, wow, that's so cool. And in talking with people when they came, none of them had done a shamanic breathwork like that. Only two people had done something similar. Everybody else was brand new. We had people from all over central Minnesota, and it was really fun. People were ready to just go all in. Like, no matter what, they were ready for anything, and they went deep, and it was so cool. But it was nice, too, because we were able to spread out, you know, and keep everybody at least 6 feet apart, if not further.
Right.
Everybody kept their masks on. Nobody caused a fuss. It was funny because as teachers, you're supposed to wear a mask and a face shield. So that was new for me. So I kept knocking my face shield because I talk with my hands, you know, a lot. And so I kept knocking my face shield with my hands. I would be like, what? And I'm like, oh, sorry, everybody. And they thought it was kind of funny because it just kept happening. But yeah, it was really great. Good energy for it. And people were just like jazzed up for it. So I think the new year, people are ready to try new things, you know, especially after last year, they're ready to out with the old, in with the new kind of stuff.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, a few people apparently contacted Community Ed asking if I would run more of them. And so, I'm going to do hopefully every other month this year, I'll be doing a Community Ed breathwork, which will be awesome and looking forward to it.
Now, do you have a microphone, or how can they hear you in a big place like that?
I can talk really loud, but here's the deal. With the face mask and the face shield, it was a little tough.
Well, that's
so
what I mean.
What I can do, what I'll do next time is my speakers that I bring, because I bring three huge speakers because we blast the music. We have I created a soundtrack that has chakra activating music, and I blast it during the breath work. And the speakers have an opportunity or a place, an option, excuse me, not opportunity, an option to plug in a microphone, which I do have those as well. So next time I will bring a microphone and plug into one of the speakers. So I don't have to shout, because I was tired. I'm tired anyway from doing a class because it's just a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But when you have to almost shout, it really drains your energy. And then my throat sore and all this stuff. Plus I was kind of moving around, walking around so people can hear me. And my feet were sore. I was kind of a mess the next day, but it was totally worth it. And just, with Cindy and Tim in the back, they were like, you know, it was almost too hard to hear you. So I'm like, okay, next time microphone.
Well, so, I think when you have the mask on, and then if you have a shield on to boot, I mean, you know, it's hard to hear people with masks on, just, you know, even if you're loud, you know?
Yeah,
it can be. Yeah, you need a microphone for sure. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I've got one, so I'll bring it next time. And so it was a good first run there, but everybody was like jazzy and ready to do it. And it was just cool to hear people's journeys afterwards. And like, there was no fear. These people were like, we're doing it. And it was cool. It was really cool. Yeah. So I was excited.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I just think people are just willing to just try stuff that make them feel good, which is awesome, right? They're doing stuff for themselves, you know, and a little self-care and all that kind of stuff. So,
I have quite a few folks that have said, you know, they couldn't make the January one and they're looking forward to March, and they actually said they were going to do it to treat themselves. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. You're treating yourself to a different type of healing and being able to take a spiritual journey. And yeah, it's really, it was really cool. So
yeah. Awesome. Good job.
So a fun weekend of, you know, spiritual journeying and shamanic healing and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and here we are. So tonight we're going to talk about ghost towns, because we have had, we've had that subject come up on the show a few times. So we thought we would just, you know, talk about it a little bit. And, you know, they're all over. I mean, it's not you. I guess when you think about ghost towns, you think of the Old West, right? The old ghost, you know, the old gold run towns where they were there for a couple of years and then the gold streak ran out, and then, but there's still this town there, for example. But they're all over Minnesota. They're everywhere. But there are a couple of sites that I have found that North Dakota has a lot of them, which, again, right? They all these towns grew up on the railroad. stuff happened, people went away and left all these buildings. And it's just like old homes, like farmhouses. Like, you know, even my family lived in, and it's still standing down in Wisconsin where my dad's from. It's beautiful. Well, I'm sure it was a beautiful house at when he lived there, when it was, people lived there. Now it's pretty much in shambles, and I haven't been up there for probably 40 years, but we used to walk up there occasionally, and I mean, it's a big, beautiful house on the top of the hill overlooking the coulee, you know, and they just left it because they built another house, you know, down the road or whatever, and they just left it. You know, I can't figure that one out.
Isn't that odd?
Like, it is odd. Don't
do that. Well, I was going to say we don't do that nowadays. I'm sure people do it nowadays. I can't imagine doing it. Let's just say that.
No.
Because I had to catch myself because I'm like, well, who would do that? I suppose people would. I would not do that. I can't imagine having the house I'm living in and just leaving it to go live in a different house.
No. Like, you know, and if it was just a icky old house, but this house, and like I said, I haven't been in there since I was, you know, probably 15 or something. And then we used to make a trek up there like every summer because it's really close to my dad's, to the Langer Hacienda is what I call it. You know, it's the river bottom property that we have down there. And it was a beautiful house. I mean, it had beautiful woodwork. It was ginormous. You know, it had like four bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom and living room, dining room, kitchen, basement, you know, the whole nine yards. And it, they just left it. You know, I can't figure it out. I still have, you know, I have pictures of my grandma sitting on the porch, you know, like in the 1940s or something, you know, and it's like, how bizarre, you know, and then they just let it go, you know, and it wasn't my family. They lived there. I don't know if they were farmed the farm or something there at that time because it was my great grandma. I'm not really sure how that goes. And you know, unfortunately, my dad's passed away now, so I can't even ask him. But somehow the family lived there, you know, for a while and it just empty. Gone, you know, it's just still hanging out down there, you know. So,
well, there's a couple of ideas in the chat room as to why they might have left. So, Mike said maybe they didn't want to live there, or it was haunted, or there was a family of skunks in the basement. And then Joe said maybe there were ghost skunks in the basement.
Well, you know, what was interesting is this was a whole farm, right? And it had the biggest barn I have ever seen. It was like twice the size of most barns down there. And unfortunately, a tornado took it about 2 decades ago. So now I believe it's just the house up there. Funny, it didn't take the house. Isn't that odd? So, you know, I mean, they're pretty close together and took the barn, but not the house. So, yeah, I would love to go through it again, but I bet the floors are rotted out now. I bet you can't even get in there. You know, I bet it's just a shell of a house, but I sure would like to go there, you know. Someday
I might. You can go. You just have to be careful. If, you know, probably don't go inside, but you can at least go and see it.
Yeah, and take pictures. I know. I even thought, you know, we know who the property owners are. You know, they're the same ones who owned it when, you know, my family back in the day lived there. So I'm almost thinking I should go there and tell them I'm a Langer and I just want to go take pictures. Can I do that? I bet they would let us. You know what I mean?
I would assume so.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So sounds like a great episode for a remodeling show, right? I would love to live in that house. Let me tell you, it's beautiful view, you know, but can you imagine how much it would cost? And I bet, you know, I bet it would fall down. You know, some of these remodeling shows, they buy these houses that are, you know, like they think they're going to remodel and then they start in and they fall down and then they have to rebuild a whole new house, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot. Too much work for me.
So a whole town like that. So imagine, you know, maybe a one-off house every now and then, but a whole town. And, you know, how does this happen? I'm sure they just went with the money, right? There's no more gold, so they don't need to be there. So away they go, and nothing flourished. So, yeah.
I mean, it seems like quite a bit of these ghost towns I was finding anyway are, you know, from mining towns. You know, they set up shop quick to go for like the gold or silver or copper or whatever it was that they were mining. And then it dries up, runs out, or there's a bigger, you know, better deal down the road and they just pack up and go, you know, and I would assume some of them kind of trickle out, you know, that not every one of them is a mining town. I understand that. Mm-hmm. And they might, you know, kind of dry up over a decade or 2 decades. You know, you hear some of these towns where people leave, you know, a big industry in the town closes down. Maybe it's some kind of manufacturing plant or something, and they move or going through towns. right? Yeah. Or, you know, the train goes through one town and not through another. So the town that doesn't have the train coming through kind of dries up or whatever, and it might take some time. But so I would assume there's a lot of reasons why a ghost town why a town becomes a ghost town, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting when you see some of these pictures, because I've been looking online about, you know, some of these places, and they really look like people just left.
Right? Up and left. Okay, I'm leaving. Yeah. You know, and some of them even have like stuff furniture and clothes and all kinds. I'm sure most of it's been picked up by now. But, you know, I mean, a lot of just, they look like they just walked away. You know, maybe took a few things. But I'm reading about this one it's called Cafe North Dakota. And here, I'll put the address on the chat room. But yeah, another thing. So, I mean, it's got all these buildings, post office, city hall, school, you know, churches, houses, and it's just abandoned. And it was, like it said, it's a railroad town. It was a railroad town. It was an example of shrinking North Dakota railroad community in the heart of farming country. And yeah, at runtime, 255 people lived there, and in 2010, I guess there were 43 people who lived there, but where do they live? I don't know. Not in these places. That's for sure. But craziness, right? How does this happen?
So 10 people lived there. Wait, how many people lived there?
There were 50. So at one time there were 200, there were, 255.
And which is still not a lot.
Right? In 2010, there were 43, but I bet you now there's probably nobody there.
43 people in 2010. How far away was the next big town, does it even say? Because how is that even? I don't know.
Well, it's Cafe, North Dakota. And, I mean, it looks like there's, I mean, here, I'm going to put this on the chat room. But, it says, here's this, it's a picture of the public school that's particularly beautiful in design and construction, but the unkempt overgrowth suggests a school and some dystopian vision of the future. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So it just, people just, you know, and so this, so these photos were taken in 2017. So who knows what is there now, but cool. I'm going to put this on the chat room so everybody can go and have a look at it. But North Dakota is like full of them, right? And Minnesota has plenty as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't looked up Minnesota. I was looking up and going a little bit more. I was going bigger. Where in Minnesota? I'm curious.
Let me look. Let's see. So I'm looking at the website called Ghosts of Minnesota. Looking for an actual town. You know, they have a lot of, like, old buildings that have been abandoned. Bridges, Donnelly School, haunted and abandoned border station. Oh, this is really cool.
So, in the chat room, a couple weeks ago, wasn't it, we were talking about that wedding dress that someone stole out of a ghost town. And Sherry brought that up again. She said, don't steal wedding dresses from ghost towns.
Right.
And then Rain said, well, where is it? If it's a ghost town, who are you stealing from? And I mean, you think that's true, but really there's some towns that it's rumored that there is a curse on the town. And if you take anything from the town, you will have extremely bad luck.
Yeah.
Until you return it, or you're probably dead. I mean, either way, you know, you're going to have bad luck. So, I don't know why that would be the case, but you know, if you think of people stealing something every time they go to a ghost town, there wouldn't be anything left in the ghost town. And maybe the people who used to live there want to preserve the space or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing, but there has been rumors, and could some of it be, you know, you're manifesting the bad luck because you believe it's going to happen because you stole something? Possibly. I would imagine that's some of it. But what if, you know, what if that energy comes home with you and you, I mean, I know it's happened to people who've gone to regular towns. They come home from a trip and they have weird energy that kind of hooked onto them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gal that came to my meetup. This was years ago. and she was in England for a trip. She was with her daughter and visiting some interesting old, everything there's old, excuse me, just about everything's there old. So she was visiting some old pub, and just walking around and, just kind of seeing the sights, taking pictures, because you never know if you'll see something around a corner or whatever. And she felt like this overwhelming sadness take over her. And basically, and the rest of the trip and until the meetup, she would just spontaneously start sobbing. And she was just beside herself because she's like, what is wrong with me? Why am I just sobbing? And I could tell that she had the spirit of some lady attached to her. And I don't know if energetically they just kind of matched or if this woman knew she could go with her to get help. Like, I don't know. So we did a clearing for her right after the meetup. And I mean, she had been sobbing in meetup, literally sobbing her eyes out. And it was kind of like, we should just stop meetup because we can't get around this. She wasn't trying to be disruptive. She couldn't help it. So we got through meetup and we, at the end of meetup, we went and took her and did a clearing for her. And she was racked with sobs. And then she stopped, stood up. And she's like, oh, okay. I feel fine. And she just like, it was, weird. It was weird how like night and day it was. And she left. She was fine. She's been fine ever since. She's like, I can't even understand how quick that was that it was, she's gone. And I could feel how she was attached. And I said, yeah, well, you go to these places that have a lot of energy or, old places and new places have this too. But, anyway, so it was kind of cool. She didn't go to a ghost town, but she definitely had an attachment. So anyway, point being, you can go to these ghost towns where they have all these things sitting around, like the people just left. They just left their stuff there, whatever. And I mean, some of the spirits are attached to their place, or it's just the energy of the place. It may not be something interactive, but just something that's some kind of energy kind of travels with it and goes home with you.
Yeah, so here's a list of ghost towns in Minnesota. Now, I don't see, there's no, I mean, and there probably are. I will look further on the internet, but it says that most of them are historic mining towns. So Iron Range is most of them. Mm-hmm. Elkhorn, Minnesota is one. It's in near Gilbert at the southern end of the Mesabi Iron Range in St. Louis County.
Huh, cool.
At its peak, the town had over 1,000 inhabitants. Laid out streets, a railroad, a post office, a train station, general stores, a hotel, and several other businesses. And then nobody lives there now. A place called Manganese, Minnesota. It's in Crow Wing County. Mesaba, Minnesota is another one that's up on the Iron Range. Mitchell, Minnesota. So it was an important railroad town that supported mining activities. So that was also up north. It was near Duluth, I guess. Old Crow Wing, Minnesota. So that's down south, though, right? At its peak, the town had close to 1,000 residents, most of whom were the local Ojibwe tribe. How about that? Forestville, Sacramento. I never heard of any of these places, but boy, it'd be fun to go there, right? I'm going to keep this list.
Forestville, isn't that southeastern Minnesota, Forestville Mystery Caves. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
To that town.
Forestville, it's an important ghost town that you should visit. The town is located in Section 13 of the Forestville Township within Fillmore County.
I think that's the one. Yeah, I've been there. It's cool. It's in a state park. And you can go and visit it and then go in the caves, go cave walking or cave diving or whatever it's called. Yeah. Forestville Mystery Cave is down there and it's cool. Yeah. They have a cemetery and everything there.
Yeah. It said when railroad construction bypassed the town, many of its early inhabitants began to move away and eventually the town was completely abandoned in 1910. Mm-hmm. Today, the remaining structures of the town are managed by the Minnesota Historical Society, which has begun the work of restoring and preserving the town as early as 1949. Did you see that when you were down there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's a neat place. So I guess I've been to one here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, Forestville. I didn't realize that was, I guess, well, of course it would be. I mean, it was cool though. It is cool. You should go there. It's not that far away, a couple hours from the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
We camped there for the weekend.
For sure. Yeah.
Spelunking. Yeah, that's what it is. Cave diving.
Spelunking.
Cave.
I don't do caves. I don't do underground.
Well, they have different ones you can do. There's some that you can walk around, and then there's some that you have to crawl on your stomach, and I did not do the crawl on your stomach one. But the town itself is neat. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, let's see here. I'm curious if folks in the chat room, I put this in the beginning of the show in the chat room. I'm curious if anybody has been to any small towns in the chat room. If you want to share your story with us, we can share it on the air. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably have to do that after the break because, oh my gosh, we are at the half hour.
We are. So we're going to take our commercial break. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
This is Aaron Kimball from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network, and we're talking about ghost towns tonight, and we've been sticking close to home here, at least home in Minnesota. We've been talking about ghost towns in the Midwest, and we've started to get some chatter here in the chat room of folks who have been to different places and ghost towns. Mike in the chat room he mentioned Jerome, Arizona, which I agree is a cool town, technically not a ghost town, but it's an old mining town. And it has, he said there's some neat abandoned shacks on the way there. But unless you take the road out to Paulden, Jerome is pretty cool though, but it's not, I don't think, you know, it's not abandoned. There is, where did I see? I'm looking back in the chat room here. Oh, he said, Mike said, stagecoach stops in Arizona, little shacks and stuff, but not necessarily ghost towns. And you were talking about wanting to go to, what was that place? You said in North Dakota?
Oh, the Sandhaven Sanatorium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which technically isn't a ghost town.
No, it isn't. It's an old sanatorium, but there's so many buildings on there, it might as well be a ghost town. Yes, I would love to do an investigation there. It is so far away, though, it would take, I don't know how many hours to get there, but you'd have to get permission, of course. And like I said, I've talked to several tribe, it's on the reservation up there. I think it's the Turtle Indian Reservation. And I have talked to at Paracon, we used to have a lot of natives coming in from the North Dakota reservations. And I know a couple of them, we would talk about Sandhaven. There was that one that told me that crazy story about the black snake. And I was, she said, I'm creeping you out. And I said, yes, you are. And there's not many things that creep me out. But she was the one who said, we were talking about Sandhaven, and she said, I'm sure if you asked that they would let you go in there. And I'm like, really? And I just haven't had a chance to do that, but I think it would be awesome. Can I just say? So I don't know, maybe at some point, sometime before it all falls down, right? Cause it's pretty old now and it was pretty it's not in very good shape.
Yeah. So, well, as I would imagine some places are that are abandoned. There's nobody taking care of them. One of the places that comes up in lists if you look up ghost towns in the U.S. is Garnet, Montana. And I actually have been there. It was amazing. Did an investigation there, which was also amazing. There was a ton of activity there. Really cool. It's these cabins you can go into, and they're being preserved as well. I don't know if they're a historic site or a national park or who's taking care of them. It might be a park. National park or state park. It's really neat though, and it's very well preserved. But to get there, I mean, first of all, just to get to Montana, we drove, and that was 15 hours. And then I think it was another 2.5 or 3 hours up the, you know, mountains winding around, which I'm not a huge, I'm kind of get car sick, you know, nauseous. It was awful. So it was quite the trek to get there, but I did it because I really wanted to go. Tim and I went, and I really thought it was like he used to live there or something, because he felt so connected to it. And in a way that I think he wasn't quite himself when we were there, in a good way, you know, he wasn't quite himself there. And this was probably 5 or 6 years ago now. And it was really moving for him. So it was cool to go. Just for that reason, but then doing an investigation there was amazing. It was so active there. It was kind of unbelievable. We could see spirits walking around in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. One guy told us his story, and it was actually really sad. He had, you know, it was an old mining town, and he had gone there, and he had just had a horrible life growing up, and he had been abused as a kid, and he didn't want to hurt anyone or be hurt by anyone. So he went and became a miner in this town up in the mountains, so he could just do, you know, be by kind of by himself. He wasn't really, I'm sure, with the mine, but just not have to worry about anyone. You just do your thing and go back to your little cabin and that's it. And that's all he wanted, because he was just so done with the life experience, you know, with being hurt. And so it was kind of sad talking to him. He didn't want any help, didn't want us to do anything for him, but he told us a story, which we appreciated. Mm-hmm. But it was weird how active that place was, in a good way. It was fascinating, like really fascinating.
Well, we did a show when you were out there. You were on the road, remember?
Oh, yeah, because we went, we also went to Butte, Montana, and that's where we did
where we did the show.
On location.
Yeah.
Butte was awesome. I mean, for a town that's inhabited, it kind of felt like a ghost town. It really did. I mean, it's inhabited. It's an old there's a copper mine there. I don't know if it might still be functioning. But the town is definitely inhabited. It's quite a big town, but it felt like a ghost town. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest thing. It was like the best of both worlds. I loved it. I would go back in a second.
Awesome. Well, Sherry, I
loved Montana, so I would go back there in a second.
Yeah. You know, Montana's wide open spaces, man. You know, but it's also got those mountains, you know, and they're beautiful too.
It was it was interesting, because everywhere we stayed in Great Falls, any direction you went from there, you'd have like a different climate, terrain, whatever. It was the coolest state. I feel like you guys have everything here. It felt like desert one direction, mountains another. Prairies another. I'm like, yeah, this is crazy. I loved it.
Yeah, it is cool. So Kat put a link onto like kind of crazy places in Michigan that have been abandoned, and wow, there's some crazy looking pictures on here. You know, from just relics of the past, really. I don't know if any of them are ghost towns, but you know, one of the things she's got that's on here is the zoos. You know, it's so bizarre when zoos and amusement parks are just left, because they're spooky. They're just spooky in and of themselves, right? And there's a picture of a stegosaurus, you know, so it had like plastic dinosaurs or, you know, that are now still there. You know, can you imagine coming across that when you're walking around the woods? but yeah, they're just kind of spooky, right? And there's a lot of those places, I think, in America.
And they, when they're overgrown by nature, starts to take them back, yeah. That's when it gets really interesting. Because then it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Something about it, just that alone makes it feel creepy. Even though it has nothing to, it's just nature being nature. You know, if people were there, it wouldn't happen because they'd take care of it. But now nobody's there, so it just, Earth kind of tries to take it back. And I don't know, I think that just adds a creepy factor to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah, because there's, you know, like I said, this, it was, there was a zoo too, but there was this one called the Prehistoric Forest Amusement Park, south of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And yeah, there's 15 acres of fiberglass dinosaurs. So,
oh boy.
Craziness, right? So who knows? It's just, maybe they'll bring it back to life, but I can imagine, you know, it's unkempt vegetation and eerily quiet woods. Well, yeah. So yeah, lots of cool stuff on here too, including an old ship that looks like it's sunk out in the middle of Lake Michigan. That's really a spooky looking picture in and of itself. But yeah. Cool stuff.
Abandoned. I can't put another one, Fayette, Michigan. And it was an abandoned town and became a state park. And so now it's been remade. Best preserved industrial era town site because the state park took it over. Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if you have been there, Kat, and had a chance to poke around there. That would be neat.
Yeah.
She said she went to the dinosaur park when she was a kid, but that's
Was it cool? Was it cool when it was up and running? I bet it was, you know?
I'm sure it was. How cool would that be to go to as a kid?
They would be absolutely cool photo shoots, Dave. I agree. I think that would be so fun to grab the camera and go.
Mike said he's been to some old churches in the middle of nowhere in southern Indiana that are totally overgrown, and he hasn't had the guts to go into any of them. Churches are different, you know.
Yeah.
They have a different energy about them. I'd be a little hesitant to dive into a church as well, because you know someone's garden knows. They're guarding those with their spirit life.
Absolutely. I usually go in them just because I have to. You know, if I see them, I go in them. And it's really fun to see, you know, like sometimes you'll find old hymnals. You might find small Bibles. You might find some just crazy stuff in there. You know, like people's names, like offering envelopes that, you know, or whatever. But yeah, it's fun. I think it's very interesting. But you're right. They do have a very different kind of strange energy.
They do. Yeah. So here's something I'm going to throw out there, because this is what I was thinking of with the ghost town. And I don't know that we necessarily would think of this as a ghost town, but technically it would be. So when I was in Central America, I went to lots of Mayan ruins, and some of them had been, they were not excavated. They were completely overgrown still, just being discovered that there was possibly a pyramid of some kind there, you know, in some kind of Mayan, you know, building or structure. And so I'm going to put a map up in the chat room, because I actually found a map of a very similar road that we took. Road, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but it's, here it is. I'm going to put a picture. Whoop. I don't know if, how do I load that? Ooh.
There we go. Is it on your computer? Yep.
There it is. Okay, so hopefully you can open it and see it. So it says just Maya route, and we started in Cancun, and actually the arrows are going, we went the opposite direction. So we went counterclockwise, this looks like it's counterclockwise. But we went through Mexico into Belize and then into Guatemala. The only thing was we couldn't get into Honduras because the road was washed out. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up scooting down to Antigua. And then the whole like left side, that bottom left quadrant, we ended up going to Quetzaltenango and Huehuetenango. And then we skipped San Cristobal and went up to Paraiso, and then went down to Palenque. So we were, and then up to Campeche and up to Merida and Chichen Itza and all that stuff. But the whole eastern side, where you kind of go down the peninsula, the Yucatan Peninsula down into Guatemala, was amazing. And those are, I mean, technically those are ghost towns, right? Because these are former Mayan cities, you know, mm-hmm. that are now mm-hmm. not inhabited and completely grown over. And so I was thinking about it. I'm like, gosh, I've been to a lot of ghost towns, you mm-hmm. know, because I thought, oh, I've only been to Garnet, Montana, and maybe, you know, that Forestville in Minnesota. But I've technically been to a lot of ghost towns, just not in this country. They were all in Central America. And it was really, really fascinating, especially the difference between the ones that have been excavated, like when you go to Palenque and Chichen Itza and Tikal, because I've been to those. But then you go to some that aren't on a map at all. And there's one that I went to. It was behind a Coca-Cola plant, and it looked like a hill. It was overgrown with trees, shrubs, grass, everything. It was behind this yucky broken down parking lot behind a Coca-Cola plant, like mm-hmm. for making pop. And there yeah. was this Mayan ruin that just hadn't been dug up yet. And so it was really fascinating to just see they were everywhere. And you could see as you're driving around, there'd be a strange pyramid type hill just there, here, there. And then there's a few others over there. It's like, oh, I think we're in the middle of a old Mayan town or, you know, settlement or whatever they, mm-hmm. whatever they were called, but it was really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. Ancient cities. Yeah, that is cool.
But technically I think they're ghost towns.
I'll well, they are. It. Oh, and I'm sure there's lots of spirit energy in those places.
There is. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really awe-inspiring.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I can only imagine. Remember when Casey went to Italy and she brought back that rock from Pompeii? Remember I brought it to you?
Oh, yeah.
To see? Yeah. I mean, you could just feel it, the energy in there. Just a little, it wasn't very big, you know, a little tiny rock. The crazy energy was just amazing. So I can only imagine what it's like to be there. Yeah, you're, oh man, that would be bad. Yeah, I'd be kind of scared to run into those Federales for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting trip, let me just tell you. And I mean, it was just anyone. Mm-hmm. You could get stopped, and we were scared sometimes. What we found was helpful is we had a trunk of alcohol and other, like, you know, we just go and stock up on alcohol and cigarettes and things, because if there was enough that they could take, whoever would stop us, you know, they'd make us stop, force us mm-hmm. off the road, whatever. And they, if whatever they could take and just take enough to satisfy a good reason to stop us and not have us get upset, like, you took all our stuff. So mm-hmm. we always made sure to keep the trunk stocked with things that would be, you know,
that they would like.
Yeah. So then they would take it and then would leave, let us go. And that
makes
was enough.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
man.
So, Rain said, did you go to any Mayan ruins? Yes, I went to a ton of Mayan ruins. I don't know all of the names of them, but any of the main, like the ones that I'm looking at that map that I posted, in Palenque was amazing. And that's been not fully excavated. Well, at the time, I don't know that it was fully excavated. It probably is by now or has a lot done. Palenque was amazing. You'll have to look up pictures online. It's mm-hmm. amazing. We went down into the tomb. There's a king that was buried, and he had this jade mask, and everything was amazing. So you go all the way up to the top, and then you climb all the way down inside of this tomb. And it was really cool. Went to Tikal and climbed to the top of some of those. And then also Chichen Itza and where am I looking? Where is the other one? Oh, I can't even think here. Anyway, we went to a couple other places too that didn't have like well-known ruins, and they hadn't been fully excavated. But then doing other things like some old towns like Antigua up in the mountains was amazing and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Campeche probably had the best seafood I've ever had on the planet. And mm-hmm. Huehue Tenango had the best coffee I've ever had, yeah, ever. And a little six-year-old had to serve it to me, which I thought was disturbing, but he served me the best cup of coffee I've ever had, ever.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh. Well, you're driving through Guatemala, and there's coffee beans drying in the sun everywhere.
Sure.
So it was a little cement hut, and this little kid, I was looking for this bread stuff that I just couldn't get enough of. They were like these really fat, thick tortillas. They were amazing. And this coffee I couldn't drink enough of it. And this little six-year-old, this little family place, it was flies that were everywhere, but the coffee was amazing. Like, okay, hook me up, and here is extra money, little child, and please go to school. So yeah. He was cute. Yeah. I went to quite a few. I just, I don't know, I don't remember all the names. I'd have to get out my little map book, but.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah, it was an awesome. And I've been down to Mexico and Central America, well, Mexico quite a few times to some of those ruins, but Guatemala, that was, and Belize were my first, that was my first and last time there. Mm-hmm. But I'd go back. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Enough about my ghost towns in Mexico. Done.
But, you know, I mean, even if they're not really technically haunted, that, you know, all these buildings and towns hang on to whatever energy was there when there were people there. So mm-hmm. they're all going to have kind of a weird feeling, right? There's still energy there and, you know, probably residual hauntings. I mean, there's probably all kinds of stuff there. Yeah, I think it would be fun to go to some of these. I'd like to go to North Dakota, actually, because there's a lot of them up there. And it's close.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. And South Dakota, I've heard South Dakota has quite a few, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it'd be fun to do like a tour, like a ghost town tour, you know.
They probably have them in the summertime.
5 or 6 days or something. You know, I think it'd be fun to just do it on your own, you know, and just kind of map out a few places you want to go see and get the camera out, Dave, and just go to town. That would just be awesome. For sure.
Yeah, so you have permission. We advocate for having permission. Make sure everybody has permission to go places.
Absolutely. You need to find all that out before you went, you know.
Right.
We're not urban explorers here. We always have
permission. No, I saw that mentioned earlier in the chat room with a wink or something with it. I'm like, hey, now.
No, we always have permission. Like I said, I really would like to go to that sanatorium up on the border. But, of course,
That's not open, though, to the people investigating, right? You have to get permission, special permission. They don't do tours or things like that, right?
It's on the reservation, and I don't...
Got it.
You know? Okay. So, yep. But, yeah, I'd love to go there. Love to go there. I'll have to work on that, maybe. I've been saying that for several years, you know?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
You know,
yeah, you just get on that sometime stuff.
Well, you know what? We have so much going on. It's like, who has, you know, that's something you would have to plan. So you would just have to take some time to plan it and then get it on the calendar and then actually be able to go, you know, get permission and then go, you know? Not all urban explorers break into places. Yes, you're right.
No, like, that's true. You know? You're right, Kat.
I mean, we don't. For sure. We always ask first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it just depends. So while I'm thinking about it, we're just going to put a plug in for the Calling radio show tomorrow night. I believe they're talking about witches, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I don't know what all that means, but it sounds like a fun show. So that's on at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on this network, the Calling radio show. So that'll be interesting for anybody wanting to hear more about witches.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. No,
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
No ugly witches. There's no ugly witches.
I love it. I know. I think that's what it said. I'm going to look at it.
Unless they're talking about bad witches, like people doing bad things.
That's what I think. Yeah. And Willow's a witch. So I think it'll be probably a really good show. But yeah, good stuff. There's just so much happening. Anything else? I'm looking
through the chat room to see if we missed anything. Too. And the chat room somehow took a turn into cats, and so
I know.
I think we've lost them. We've lost the chat room.
I know.
It's been hijacked by cat lovers, which is fine. Let's go for it.
I wish Izzy would come and join us, but you know, she's whatever. She's not my little bubble. Always had to be on, but. Not zoo. So,
well, and next week we have our first Tuesday of the month is Paranormal Smorgasbord. So people listening, get your topics ready for us to jump in and talk about during the show. And who knows, maybe one of those topics will spin off into a whole show, because that has happened quite a few times. I think this might even be one of them, ghost towns.
Yeah.
So bring your topics to our Paranormal Smorgasbord next week, and we will hash everything out and possibly spin off and make a show out of it. So they're always a fun, wild and woolly show, the Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Absolutely. No, Sherry is saying cats are gods to the Egyptians. Yes. Well, you know, cats are guardians of the underworld, right? I truly believe that, you know. I believe cats keep us safe from the supernatural. But yeah, love it. Yeah, the chat room has just really, really derailed here.
Totally derailed. And they've moved on to chickens. So yeah, I don't know what's happening, but good. I'm glad they're having fun.
I am too. But yeah, so next week is the Paranormal Smorgasbord, which is always fun. We always get some really good topics. People are just crazy. It's a wild and woolly Tuesday when we have the paranormal.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with something besides Tremendous Tuesday, because it's going to be like not tumultuous, because that sounds bad, but something wild and woolly for Paranormal Smorgasbord, because that's what it is.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
Yep. And we will do that for sure. Well, what else is going on this week? I don't think we have anything more about ghost towns, do we?
No, just the full moon coming up.
Full moon. Everybody get out there and enjoy that. I think last week Thursday of January. Night. Yep. Thursday night's the last. I think it's completely full. Oh, I was going to say, so I think Mama Owl is in the nest. I'm so excited.
Already?
Well, usually it's earlier, but then last week I found them. I hadn't seen them for a long time. And so today I was over there on that side of the woods, and I was looking up in the crook of the tree where she has nested in the past, you know, and I thought I could see something, but, you know, it's hard because it's way up. You can't really see, right? And it's a nook in the tree because from an old branch that fell. And then I looked on the other side of, or over there, and there was Papa Owl keeping watch. Mama was not with him. So I'm thinking maybe she really was in that hollow and she has those babies, or she's laying eggs or has laid eggs, you know, because this is
it just seems so cold.
Oh, I know.
She has to be laying eggs and having eggs in your tree. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
I know. But and nature is amazing, aren't they? And she keeps those eggs warm and those babies and, you know, the nest box where she nested in, you know, she lost the babies last year because I think they had died of hypothermia, you know, from that big rainstorm we had. And the nest box came crashing down to the ground. So that's no longer there. So I think she's back in the tree. I hope. I'm going to go there, maybe not tomorrow, but the next day, and bring my, I wish I'd had my camera with the long lens so I could have looked, you know. But she just peeks out, you know, when she's in there. All you can see are her eyes, you know. So hopefully, but that's a new hope, right? It's always such a cool time of year. You know, the baby owls, the baby eagles, they all start coming now, you know. And then I have to go check on them and worry about them. And if there's a storm, oh my God, you know, are they going to be okay? And of course they always are, because, you know, they take very good care of them. Except when they're overwhelmed like last year. But anyway.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen.
No, she's going to be successful and have a couple of babies and get some really good pictures, and I'll get to watch them grow up and fledge and, you know, the whole nine yards. So I'm excited about that. Hey, that's why I'm feeling lighthearted tonight. That just makes me feel happy.
Well, and then we'll have Eagle Cam happening pretty soon, too.
Yep.
Mike said the same thing. Great minds think alike, Mike.
Well, they do, and that's a different one. That's out by Hutchinson, but they have the DNR cam is right here in the cities, and that's the DNR cam. And I've been there. Dave and I have taken several pictures of the eagles there. It's fun. And we've met this, like I said, this one photographer that has the lens that's, you know, I get lens envy every time I see him. But yeah, so that's fun. I love to watch it. But it's funner when they're in your backyard. Yeah. So this is the end of the gathering for tonight.
The music is playing.
So thanks for joining us, everyone. If there's any troops listening, thanks for joining and be safe and thank you for your service.
And thanks everybody in the chat room, even though it went sideways and off the rails, we love you anyway. Thank you everybody out there listening, and Para X for hosting our show, and Sarge, our most amazing producer. And we're just super glad to be here for another year, 2021. And yeah. First month down, here we go.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Stay safe, everybody.